This is Kevin Harlan. This Friday, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. First, Bam Adebayo and the Heat take on Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Then, Steph Curry and the Warriors square off against Wemby and the Spurs. If you're not a Prime member, just sign up for a free 30-day trial. Heat Knicks, Warriors Spurs. Coverage starts Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Du bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders. Ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's show, a classic from 2015 with astronaut Dr. David Wolf. He's coming up right after this.
To introduce myself, I am Figaro Lapu. Are you like me? Do you love to eat, but sometimes your food does not love you back? Oh my, that is quite unpleasant, is it not? Here at the Frigamol Industries, we have developed a pill that will take the stink out of... Of course, we cannot muffle the noise, but we can eliminate that embarrassing, eye-watering, wallpaper-peeling aroma. You will still hear the... But the aroma will be a designer fragrance chosen especially for you. We have country pine, potpourri, musk, and my personal favorite, sea breeze. On your face. We call this modern miracle pill flatulante.
Flatulante, go ahead and toot. Flatulante, the air you won't pollute. You're pulling your own finger because you want to cut the cheese.
Now you're breaking wind so much your ass gives off a breeze. Flatulante. In the restaurant or in the bedroom?
Get under the covers, honey. I want to do a Dutch oven.
Oh, I hate that. Is that lemon?
No, it's Flatulante's new citrus celebration.
You're so romantic.
If you eat some tuna fish... On the croissant, and you start farting like a circus elephant. As your friends begin to sniff, they'll savor every whiff. They're grateful that you're using flatulante.
Flatulante for your derriere. When you fart, it freshens up the air. So when you make a stinky, don't be worried that it breaks.
It's as if perfume is blasting out your cheeks.
Flatulante, a product of Frigamol Industries, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Excuse me. It's our way of making sure you haven't missed anything. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show, special edition. We actually have someone in here whose IQ cleared 75. It's Dr. David Wolf, astronaut, 4 trips to space.
If I could understand what you just said, I'd get up and leave the room.
Exactly.
I can tell you that.
Dr. Wolf is a physician, a scientist, a mathematician, and a guy who's been in outer space a bunch, which is pretty cool. How many days in space did you say?
172 or so.
Okay, can you saddle up to that
microphone? And you, let me see, three missions on the shuttle and one in Mir? Is that what it was?
Really, I've been on... 5 different shuttle missions.
Oh, really?
And 1 Mir mission, but some of them were combined together.
Oh, I see.
Up on a shuttle, live on the Mir, watch it pull away, another shuttle comes back 5 months later.
Uh-huh.
Do you count it as 2 or 3 or 1? How do you count that?
Right. So, well, good point.
Counting.
Well, you hope they come back. That's pretty scary.
As they were pulling away for a 5-month stay on the Russian space station, the alarm, I could still see the shuttle when the first master alarm for the failure occurred our air conditioning system. So we had it was 100% humidity for the next 5 months, but it was 110 degrees.
Oh, it's humid in space?
Well, it is when you don't have a humidity separator functioning.
Okay.
Yeah, I know my,
it's a dryer.
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
It doesn't rain downwards. Let me put it this way.
Chick knows a guy at Chapman Air Conditioning. Jeff can come up there and get
that's
Jeff
right.
humidity
fix
separator
it right up,
fixed.
Baby.
It's going to be a hell of a service call, though.
So, Dr. David Wolf, we were talking about you are an expert in the world of spacewalks. And you were telling us you were doing a spacewalk. And what was the scenario? You and your Russian buddy.
The Russian and I were outside on the Russian space station trying to fix it after the collision. You may remember.
Yes.
There was a collision and a fire. There was a lot of damage. My turn came up to go next. And so we're out in an Orlan Russian spacesuit. And we did our work. We couldn't find the leak and couldn't fix it, but we did some other testing. And we were coming back in. The airlock wouldn't repressurize, and we were running out of air. It took us 4 or 5 hours to keep trying, and we were running out of air, and we couldn't talk to the ground anymore. And we were out the end of the checklist, and we were still out in space.
Is the checklist in your head, or is the checklist?
No, it's a book, and there's
floating around out there with you?
It's in the emergency ones in the airlock. You got a short one on your arm with you to help maintain
the
space.
Oh, like quarterback
codes? Like a quarterback.
It is like that. It's very much like that.
Well, Yuri, it looks like we're doing the Statue of Liberty.
And by the time you get to the end of this thing, you're definitely supposed to be eating dinner inside in plain clothes.
Uh-huh.
Right. I'm sorry, so the airlock, you can't get the door open? Is that the...
We couldn't repressurize it, so we couldn't create a breathable atmosphere. We couldn't bring it up from vacuum.
Right.
It was either leaking or a valve. We found out much later that we had a...
That's the sound.
You don't like hearing that spacecraft.
So you have to take the whole shuttle and dunk it in water to
find out where it is?
Find the leak.
In a sense, you do. We fill it with helium, and when we take helium detectors outside and look for the helium coming out into space.
Detectors.
But in the meantime, you're sitting there, you're running out of air. And the doors
basically we ran out.
And then what?
Ultimately.
Do you talk like this when you deploy the helium?
we just put it in the module that was evacuated. But what's that question?
So I'm sorry. So when we left you, you were running out of air with a guy named Yuri.
Right.
Anatoly, actually.
Sorry.
Whatever.
My go-to Russian guy is Yuri Gagarin.
Yeah, he was the most experienced guy in spacewalks. He had done 16, still the world record. And
really?
This was my first. And we're looking at each other going, we're out of ideas here. We're at the end of the checklist. But there's nothing.
You can talk to him though, right? Your radio.
Yeah, in Russian. No, he didn't know English.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are in a Russian spacesuit. No one speaks English. You're out of air. You maybe got 5 minutes left. It's getting real hot because you're out of cooling fluids too, and things are out. You're out of ideas. And so we just ditched. We evacuated the next module and disconnected our umbilicals, which were giving us cooling.
Right.
And then the first breath exhalation, I didn't anticipate, neither of us did, that it fogged the whole visor.
Oh.
And, yes, I'm giving a talk for a wonderful blind organization
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. in Indiana. But the doing Braille in a spacesuit glove is not good when you got 3 minutes of air left.
Yeah,
I bet so you the F word came out, didn't it?
But what
did you?
Not in space.
Well,
no one in space can do the F word.
There's a word in Russian that we don't have one for that matches. Uh-huh. But in any case, whatever we did, it had to be now. And it's like a car wreck. You're not nervous when it happens. It's afterwards. You go,
right.
What just happened? So it didn't feel nerve-wracking at the time. We just kind of went through it. We evacuated the next module in, opened the hatch, disconnected, felt our way in there. And, that's the three-minute to live time when you disconnect. And the two of us got in there, and we each saved each other's life.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Because the way it was so tight, we couldn't get oriented correctly to manipulate the controls on our own spacesuits.
Uh-huh.
We had to hook each other her secondary umbilicals.
And you couldn't see the whole time?
You couldn't see either. I would spit to get a little window to look through. And when I spit once, there was a little picture of my family on the wall. That right there.
That's the first
in
thing
my
you
head,
saw?
Yes, when I spit, because I had used that airlock months earlier as a bedroom before we started the spacewalk sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And I had left a picture taped on the wall. That oddly enough,
if this was in a movie, someone would go, "Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you send this guy?"
Well, this is what happens at the Mar. Like you were talking about, I tell these stories. They hit me. They say they walk away. Say, another lying astronaut.
Yeah, okay.
That's just amazing.
That is incredible.
And you send this guy a Christmas card every year, don't you, to this
Well,
day.
We do get together
I
and
bet.
Smile.
Now, so after this happens, and then you get rehooked up with Houston, you have to figure out what went wrong?
So we figured out that the leak rate was that we could, We did some experiments on it. For about a month later, we opened the whole space station to that airlock, and we, in shirt sleeves, went in there. And if you can make that sound again, we're hearing that. Mm-hmm. And we pull a panel off, and we see all these bent push rods that hold the hatch in place. And we looked at each other and say, we're gone. Mm-hmm. We took one picture, slammed that hatch shut, because that hatch looked like it was ready to blow off any mm-hmm. moment. Oh, it wasn't on there good. It wasn't on good enough to seal. And
had it been damaged in the fire or the collision or something? What was
it had been damaged due to a prior cosmonaut opening it. We still had a quarter PSI as we depressurized, and that was too much force. You need to wait a long time to get the last bit of air out.
Right.
And it pushed it open a little too hard and de-rigged it. It got the rigging of the door out of place, and it got gradually worse after that, and it failed on our day.
So, nice. But then you walked through everything, so NASA knows how to make it not happen next time.
They didn't find out till I got back to Earth months later and debriefed it. This was in the Russian space program as a cosmonaut, and they weren't big on saying, oh, yeah, today we almost killed your astronaut. They just didn't talk about it. And this was why we started this program before the International Space Station. Mm-hmm. So we learned to talk to each other and share information. And this was one of the key events where
that's how you came home through the with a Russian capsule.
We had one up there, and my spacesuit at the museum is the one I would have used had we needed that capsule. But I ended up going home on a shuttle as it worked out.
This is Kevin Harlan. This Friday, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. It all tips off with Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat taking on Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks in an East Coast rivalry. Then Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors go toe-to-toe with Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. It all comes your way this Friday on Prime. And if you're not a Prime member, that's not a problem. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. The Heat and Knicks, the Warriors and Spurs. Coverage starts Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
We're speaking with Dr. David Wolf. David Wolf is technically, I guess, a retired astronaut, but you're also a physician and a scientist, and you have a great new project. Uh-oh, wait a minute.
Bob and Tom show.
Hey, hi, guys. It's Bill Clinton.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Oh, hey, Mr. Well,
I
Bill.
Couldn't help but wanted to call the good doctor. Dr. Wolf, thank you very much for everything you've done. I heard your story. That was frightening. I had a similar scary moment once.
Really?
I got locked in a cabin out in the woods once with Hillary.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, I thought I was going
to
die.
Did you have to lock her inside and sleep in the and sleep out in the grass?
Oh,
sounds terrifying.
Yeah. Oh,
really
terrifying.
Does.
Now, you're saying, I think I heard you talking about this, you're saying that people going to Mars can either go as couples, or possibly they're just going to send like maybe just wives going to Mars.
Well, yes, sir. This isn't decided. The psychiatrists and psychologists are working on this.
Yeah, how long are they gone anyway?
Well, they're thinking
they
possibly 5
back.
Years and may never come back.
May never come back.
May never.
You
come
may
back.
Have to spend the rest of your life with them.
Right.
I've got an idea for somebody who'd be just perfect.
And you know what? She could be president of Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Bernie Sanders wants to go.
All right.
I gotta go.
All right. Bye bye. Okay.
Mr. President. Dr. David Wolf is our guest. Dr. Wolf, in the course of your career, have you actually met some presidents?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Just one, two?
Two or three.
Really? You can't remember?
It really impressed me, apparently.
Well, I think since you've been alive, there's only been maybe 5 or 6 presidents.
No, so they are politicians.
You gotta just shoot in the dark. You'll probably get one of them.
After each mission, you go to the White House and do a thing with the presidents, and it just blurs in with all the rest.
Yeah, I'm sure it
does. Now, when you were in space, you mentioned that you took, at the time, I guess, music on CDs.
Yes.
Do you take a lot of them? Or do you,
I had about 15 CDs, and I still have them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually give them to the Children's Museum to put on display as part of the exhibit they're developing.
Dr. Wolf is the scientist in residence at the legendary Children's Museum of Indianapolis, one of the most famous children's museums in the world. People come from all over the place to see it. And I know you guys are building a gigantic space display that will actually feature, if I'm correct, it will feature the famous Gus Grissom capsule, the one that recovered from the bottom of the ocean.
Yes, it will have the Liberty Bell 7 on display.
What was the Liberty Bell 7? That was just found, what?
It's a Mercury capsule that Gus flew. That had the controversy, you know, did he blow the hatch early or not? Right. It was determined in the end that he did not.
I think it was on display, I want to say, about 20 years ago at the museum.
It was for a short period, right. But now it's been totally restored.
How did they find it?
Well, that was robotic activity, undersea robotics. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like the Titanic was discovered and all that. They finally
kind of like, you know, the guy on the beach with the little minesweeper.
So it was found by a guy bigger.
Gus got out as it was filling with water, and then the helicopter came out and was trying to save the capsule while he was drowning.
Right.
Yeah, but the capsule was dragging the helicopter.
Right, and they had to let it go. It started their fight. But he's drowning 20 feet over. His suit is filling with water and too heavy. And boy, was he mad.
Well, I'll bet.
You know, my office mate at NASA walked on the moon. John Young, who was my office mate for 15 years at NASA. They put the older astronauts and the young ones together. And he knew Gus pretty well. Flew with him in Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until Gus was killed in Apollo 1, Gus likely would have been the first man on the moon had he not died in the test on Apollo 1. But in any case, Gus played handball, it turns out, my office mate told me. Mm-hmm. And I play handball every night at the astronaut gym. And apparently there's a lot of expletives that come out of there. It's kind of a private gym.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I would imagine.
Apparently I've heard. And in any case, he said, I haven't heard that kind of cussing come out of that court since Gus played there.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of an
I'll bet.
Gus a Purdue man?
He was. Mm-hmm. And there's Grissom Hall that just was reopened 2 weeks ago, completely reinvented industrial engineering and school at Purdue.
He's from Mitchell, Indiana.
Just went down to his house a month ago. It's very humble, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
All these kids living in this little...
Sorry.
Always.
Bob and Tom show.
Bob and Tom, it's Kenny Tarmac.
Okay. Hey, Kenny, I know you fly a lot. We actually have Dr. David Wolf, astronaut, in the studio.
Hey, Shooter, we just landed.
You did?
Where are you?
From one frequent flyer to another, hey?
Huh?
Well, listen, guy, you think you've had some long layovers. You've never had to tackle my fourth quarter itinerary. Try ORD on a Friday with delays.
Uh-huh.
And unlike you down here, we have a little thing called weather. I know. Hey, quick question, because we're boarding to get here in a second, there's nothing worse than having to mix up a Zone 3 people. I'm double diamond with Delta. I wasn't sure if a red eye to the space station was available, how much it would cost, and by chance if that trip is miles eligible. I need to burn some of these bad boys.
It's around 75M.
Okay, well, aisle seat only. And listen, call me back. Got to skate. The overhead space is going fast. There's going to be more cursing than a NASA handball game in just a second.
Boy, I'll bet. Uh-huh.
I wanted to take a handball up into space. They wouldn't let me. I thought that would be a heck of a game to play in space.
Well, I would imagine that a ball could actually ricochet off of something and maybe ruin an instrument.
I also wanted to play darts. Imagine playing darts up there, how perfect you could throw it. They wouldn't let me take a dart.
So yeah, and all of a sudden someone throws a dart while you're filling up your air suit to go outside. And what sounded we hear chick. That's the one.
It's just a bad sound overall.
Sorry, yes, Anatoly.
Sure. It was.
We're speaking with David Wolf, astronaut.
You've had a lot of near-death experiences.
Dave, what do you
know when you
dead?
Look back? Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Hey,
yes.
Do you have a card that says Astronauts Gym? I'm just curious. You know, a lot of people go to LA Fitness. Not many have the LA or the Astronauts Gym.
I wish I'd have thought of that back then.
Yeah. Now, do you, what do you do in your downtime, in your various
I like riding my riding lawnmower on a few acres of grass and just dreaming like when I was a kid riding a lawnmower. And I used to dream about going into space. And I feel the same as that kid that had all these dreams, but now the dreams have changed.
Yeah.
I already did that one.
Wow.
Yeah, new dreams.
You know, I like riding that riding lawnmower and gardening and right there in the backyard. It's amazing.
Earthbound. In other words, you like holding on to the earth, don't you?
In a way. Yeah, I like telling people about it. You know, I speak quite a bit, and my company, Earth Tomorrow, does that. I work with the Unified Good Space Agency. They are gathering up us prior astronauts that are able to professionally speak now and organizing us, Unify Good, UNIPHI, mm-hmm. good.com, Unify Good. Anyway, they're doing a nice job, and I like working with them, and we get the word out and mm-hmm. in many different venues. They set this up with you.
Now, mm-hmm. Do you know Buzz Aldrin?
I do. I eat dinner with him a couple times a year. And also his, you know.
He's quite a character.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great guy.
He really, I'd like to
have a deal with him. He's definitely out-of-the-box thinker.
Yeah. My favorite story is some guy who came up to him and said that the moon landing was fake. And
he punched him, didn't he?
Well, my office mate, again, who walked on the moon,
punches yeah. the guy. Uh-huh.
Kept above his desk yeah. a National Enquirer that said the moon landing was faked.
Right.
And we used to always laugh about that, you know, as he landed
on
the moon.
Did he swing at you? Take a swing at you?
No, he kept it above his desk.
Take a poke at me. Go ahead, take a poke. Come on, I dare you.
How much carry-on are you allowed on the when you're an astronaut?
Same as airline, Tom.
You know, you get
got to fit in the overhead.
Way less than a shoebox.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But one thing I found is they don't let you take your wallet into space. They don't.
What do you need it for?
Well, you're going to land in China somewhere with no wallet. You could land anywhere in the whole world.
It's interesting you'd say that.
So you don't need a passport.
A friend of my this is a true story. A friend of mine whose dad is experiencing some dementia issues. He was having a total meltdown one day at this facility where he lives, and the nurse came in and said, does your dad have a wallet at home? And he said, yeah. And he said, go get it. And he drove home, went back to the nursing facility, gave the dad the wallet. He calmed down. So I'm starting to tell the story that I just told you to someone else. I got halfway through the story, and they said, I bet they sent him home for his wallet.
Huh.
So it's apparently well known in the world of when you're treating people with dementia.
It makes you comfortable to have that.
So for you to want to have your wallet,
I wanted
the same primitive.
And I snuck it in the bottom. I can say this stuff now that I don't work for my. I had my wallet.
And I'd give anything for two guys in sunglasses and black suits and white black top burst in. Let's go, Wolf.
This is the wallet that I carried in space.
Right.
It was stuck below my emergency breathing equipment.
Wow.
In my space suit. In case we landed in, you know, wherever in the world, I wanted to have a wallet.
Right.
A couple credit cards.
See, they imagine bouncing on the Russian and pull it over.
Before they make the next space movie, they got to talk to you because you've got stories that would be so cool to incorporate into one of these movies.
Yeah, you start the movie with him on the riding lawnmower, mowing the grass and a little
place
in
Indiana. We're actually making that movie at the museum. We're getting the imagery from NASA, and we're going to put together an inspiring movie for people of all ages. You know, mm-hmm. it's about if you have enough dreams, some of them will come true. You don't know which ones exactly, but some of them will.
Did you make one of the hard landings, one of the Mir hard landings?
No, didn't. Okay. Well, we made a hard docking, which wasn't real popular with the engineers.
Okay.
But
Bob has a movie called Hard Docking.
I actually have a movie called Hard Docking 1 and 2.
And much like your dream, there were people naked.
NASA frowns on those movies.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
What's up, guys? David Pollack here, former Georgia Bulldog, former analyst with College Game Day, and host of my new show, See Ball, Get Ball. I'm a defensive lineman. That's why that's the name. You see the ball, you go get it. We're going to dive deep into college football. We're going to break down film. We'll have bold takes, real conversations with the biggest names in the sport every single week. If you eat, sleep, and breathe college football like I do, man, I promise you, See Ball, Get Ball is for you. So do me a favor. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.